Shalom to all. Today's office bomb mitzvah daf ayin hey, and we are starting near the top with a brand new mishnah. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Miriam Sarah Basav Yaakov Moshe her neshama should have an aliyah. And Lili Nishmas Rabbi Chmiel Mardechai ben Rechayim his neshama should have an aliyah. So we have a mishnah which is the source for the iser of chitim chitim. Loyam Adam Chaveri, a person is not to tell his friend Halveni kor chitim vani etan lachal gairen. Please lend me a kor of wheat now, and I'm going to pay you back by the gairen when I thresh my own grain. And why is that? Because sa besa. If by that time it goes up in value, that means the borrower is going to be repaying more than the lender gave him. Avol says the mishnah. Now, we had this before as well. Omer loy, he can tell him, Halveni atchiyavi bini, please lend me until my son comes. When my son comes, he's going to get me the car of wheat that I already have, oyach emsa mafteach, or just lend it to me until I can find the key, and then I'm going to open up my storage house. And this is not an issue of sa besa because he has it, yeshloy. And that's considered in a way like the borrower's grain is already acquired to the lender the moment the lender gives him his grain, as just the lender has to wait until he's able to obtain the grain. However, if a hillel oyser, hillel answers this, and v'chein hoya hillel oymer, he'll also used to say, loy talva isha kika. A woman is not allowed to lend a loaf of bread to her friend until they set the price for how much this loaf of bread costs. Maybe by the time the friend wants to pay back the loaf of bread, wheat is going to go up in value, and it's going to turn out that it's a ribbis issue because the neighbor that borrowed the loaf is going to be returning a more expensive loaf. I think Mar tells us, Ravuna says, if the borrower has a saw of grain, he could borrow a saw. So Saim, if he has two saw, so he could borrow two saw. And in this situation, there's no issue of saw besaw. Which Rabbi Yitzchak says, Afil Yeshloi saw. Even if all he has is a saw of grain, he can even borrow a few kurin based off of this saw, and a kur is 30 times a saw, which means he could borrow way more than he actually has in stock, and still not an issue of saw basaw. Why not? Well, it's because as follows. When we have just a regular case of saw basaw, the Rav Huna would agree to. Ruvain the borrower has a saw, and he's just looking for the key, so he's allowed to take a saw from Shimon. Now, that saw that Ruvain has, which is locked up, doesn't actually belong to Shimon right now, and it's not meshubit to Shimon either, which means that technically, Ruvain could take that saw and sell it if he wants, and at a later date repay Shimon with a totally different saw, again, not the one that he currently has under lock and key. And so now we can understand Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak says that as long as a person has one saw, he could borrow 10 times that amount, because we take that 10 times the saw and view it as if it's 10 individual saws, as like he's borrowing one saw and then borrowing another saw and then borrowing a third saw, and they're all considered to be keneged that one saw that he has. I think Mark continues, Tanya Rav Chila Siul Rav Yitzchak, Rav Chila taught a braiso, which is a help for Rav Yitzchak, Tipas Yayin Ein Loi, Tipas Shemen Ein Loi. If a person doesn't even have a drop of wine or drop of oil, so he's not allowed to borrow any wine or oil. However, Hayeshlai, if he does have even at least a drop of wine or oil, Loiva Aleha Kama Tipin, he could borrow many Tipim, Keneged, that one drop that he has. And continue to explain the mission we had said, Vihil Iser, Hil Aser's Saw Besaw, even though the person actually has the saw. And our Nachman Amar Shmuel, Halachakadir Hil, the Halacha is actually like Hil and Ramachmir. What does the Gemara now say? A retraction. Vilayasa Chasakaba say, the Halacha is not like Hilel. And we continue, Vichain Hil Imre Hil also said, Loitalva Isha Vichulu, that a woman's not allowed to borrow a loaf of bread from her neighbor until she sets the price for that loaf that she's going to be repaying, because it could be that it's going to go up in value and she's going to end up repaying more than she borrowed. Number of Yehudam or Shmuel, Zudevri Hill, that's what Hill says. People borrow and repay stam, meaning they're not makbid about these small amounts, and they're okay with the fact that if bread went up in price by the time she's paying back, she's fine with repaying that more expensive loaf and there's no issue of ribbis. And Rabbi Yehudam or Shmuel, B'nei Chabur Makbidim Zalzeh, if we have a whole group of people, a whole chevra, that are very makbid with each other and they're always exacting down to the penny, and they're never willing to forgin and give the guy a little bit extra, Ivrin, they're going to be Ivrin on Shabbos and Yontif because of the following things. Mishum Midu, Mishum Mishkel, Mishum Minyan, because of measure, weight, and number. These are all manners of measuring that are usher on Shabbos and Yontif, but they're going to do that when they borrow from each other because they're so precise, exacting, and uptight. And also, Mishum Levim and Parim B'Yontif, they're going to be Ivrin on borrowing and paying back on Yontif and on Shabbos as well. And Uchadir Hill, according to Hill in our Mishnah, Af Mishum Ribbis, they're also going to be Ivrin on Ribbis. And Vamar Yudam Rashmol, Tamil Chacham, Mutarm Levi Zebin Zebin Ribbis, Tamil Chachamim are allowed to borrow from each other with ribbis. My tama, why is that? How can we say Talmid Chacham are allowed to borrow with ribbis? And the answer is made the yadi the ribbis asura. They know that ribbis is asur and we're very machmer with it. And umatana hu the yavu adadi, they're actually giving each other presents. In other words, the Talmid Chacham borrows $10 from his friend the Talmid Chacham, and when he pays back, he gives a little more. But that little more that he's giving is obviously a 100% gift, and it's not because of the loan. Anyway, something similar. Amali Shmuel avu bar ihi. Shmuel told avu bar ihi, halveni mea pilpulin. Please lend me 100 peppers, but mea of esrim pilpulin, and I'm going to give you back 120. Va'arich, and that's perfectly okay. Again, because this is two Talmid Chachamim, and the extra 20 peppers are viewed not as part of the loan, but as a totally separate gift. And now we have a suggestion. A person is allowed to lend his children and the people of his house with ribbis. And why would he do that? So that he could give them the taste of ribbis to teach your kids a lesson to show them not to lend beribbis. You lend them beribbis, and they're going to have to pay you back with interest, and they're going to have this huge hole in their pocket. They're going to know later on when I grow up and I have money and I lend it out, I'm not going to lend the beribbis. However, we retract this. This is not so. One should not do this. this. It is not good chinuch. Why? Mishum da'asi l'misrach. Because they might end up getting pulled after it. They're going to remember that in their youth, they had to pay their father ribbis, and they're going to say, hey, that's actually a great way to make money. And then they're actually going to lend people beribbis. Therefore, don't do this. Not a good chinuch technique. And the Mishnah tells us, I'm Adam Chaveiro, a person can tell his friend, Nachish imi v'nachish imcha, weed for me today in my field, and at a later date, I'm going to weed for you. Adur imi v'adur imcha, help dig with me today, and I'm going to dig with you at a later date. And that's okay because this is even. However, v'loy amr lo, he's allowed to tell his friend, Nachish imi v'adur imcha, or Adur imi v'nachish imcha. If you weed for me, I'll dig for you, or if you dig for me, I'll weed for you. That's because it's two different jobs that are worth two different amounts of money, and then we can run into ribbis issues here. Because, like, he's borrowing from his friend and then repaying him with something more expensive. Einheim based on top of the mission continues with this case. Kol yimei garid echad, kol yimei revia achas. All the dry days, basically the summer days, that's considered like one price, and all the days of the revia, which is the rainy days, that's considered a different price. And therefore, lo yamer loy, charish imi begarid, vani echrashim cha berevia. He can't tell his friend, plow with me while it's dry, and I'll plow with you while it's wet, because it's two different pricing. Now, to another case, Gamaliel says, yes, ribbis mukdemes, yes, ribbis mucheres. There's ribbis mukdemes and mucheres, which would be called pre-ribbis and post-ribbis. Ketzad, what's the situation? Nasan ein of lovai semenu. Let's say Ruvain sets his eyes on borrowing from Shemin, v'hum shaleach lai, and he sends him a gift. Vaymer, and in the note, he says, b'shvil shetalveini, this gift for you is so that you'll lend me money. Zuhi ribbis mukdemes, this is pre-ribbis, is giving a gift for a loan before he actually got the loan. Now, it's not ribbis kitsutsa, it's not a stipulation as part of a loan, but obviously it's connected to the loan, because he said very clearly, I'm giving you this gift so that you loan me money. And this is an issue of ribbis d'rabbanan. And what about the other case? Levehimenu, he already borrowed from him, and he returns his money to him, and then he sends him a gift, and he tells him, this is because of your money that was bottled by me. Instead of you taking your money and investing it, it was just sitting by me, and I appreciate that, and so here's a gift. He ribbis mucheres, this is ribbis mucheres, it's post-ribbis. And on to another type of ribbis, Rav Shimon says, yes, ribbis dvarim, there's a type of ribbis which is even just with words. The borrower can't tell the lender, that you should know, ki ba ish plani makim plani, that so-and-so came from such and such place. And the reason why he's telling him this piece of information is because the guy gave him a loan. That's considered ribbis. He's basically giving him something extra because of the loan that was granted to him. And the mission continues, we've already had this before, of elu ivan b'loisase, the following people are ivar loisase of ribbis, hamalve, the lender, v'haloive, the borrower, v'ha'arev, the guarantor, v'ha'edim, the edim that signed on the document, v'chamer l'chamem say, afa soifer, even the soifer, the one who wrote the shtar, he's also ivar. Now what are they ivar? So ivar mishom, they're ivar the following things. Number one, loisitain, that you're not allowed to give your money for ribbis. Number two, umishom al tikech mitai, don't take from him ribbis. And umishom loitia like anaisha, don't be like anaisha, literally this means a biter. In other words, the Torah says, don't be like a creditor, don't be hounding him for his money. And umishom loisimun al of neshech, that's another lav, don't place ribbis on him. And umishom lufne iver loisitim echshel v'yresim lekecha ani Hashem, and because of the esra of lufne iver, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Now the Gemara tells us, tanya wave a brazer, b'shem rechai omer, he says, minay l'anash b'chaveir mana, how do we know if a person is owed a mana by his friend, v'inu regal hakim l'shalom, and he usually doesn't say hello to him first, which means the borrower usually doesn't say hello to the lender first. Sh'asol hakim l'shalom, then now the borrower actually has an isser to say hello to the lender first. Tamalim, because the pasuk says, neshech kol davar sher yishach, and what do we learn? Afilu dibur aser, even dibur, even extra speech, which is not usually exchanged between the borrower and the lender, could be considered like ribbis. And we had said ve'ilu ivar, and the following people are ivar. Amar Abaye Abaye says, malva ivar bekulon, the malva, he's ivar all these lavin. Whereas laiva, ivar mishom, lois ashech lachicha, the laiva is ivar only three surim, lois ashech, don't pay interest, ulachicha lois ashech, and there's another isser of paying ribbis, and v'lifnei ivar l'sitei mechshol, also isser of l'fnei ivar, by him getting involved in this deal that he's going to pay ribbis, he's being ivar l'fnei ivar to the lender. Whereas ari v'edim, ein ivar el mishom, lois simon olav neshech, the guarantor and the witnesses to the deal are only ivar because of lois simon olav neshech, lacing interest on him, so that's why they have this lav. In other words, we have all these lavim, but according to Abaye, only the malv is ivar all of them, the lav is ivar three, and the arv and edim are only ivar one. And then we're going to continue tiny wave of Rabbi Shimon, and says, malvi ribbis, those who lend with ribbis, yosher mashim ravichim, mavsidim, more than they gain, they actually lose, because as we learned previously in the Gemara, they're going to end up losing all their money. Not only that, el shemisim mashra abenu chacham, they turn mashra abenu into a chacham, v'tayrasay emes, and his Torah truthful. And really, this is a euphemism for the exact opposite. They think mashra abenu is a fool, and that the Torah is false. Why is that? Because of Imrim, they say, if Moshe Rabbeinu knew that there was so much profit to be had by lending Beribis, he wouldn't have written in his Torah. And this is obviously not a good thing to make Moshe Rabbeinu into a Chacham, or his Torah, MS. Again, just being used as a euphemism for the exact opposite. And the Gemara continues, Rav Dim, Rav Dim came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he said, how do we know if a person is owed a mana by his friend, and he knows that the guy who borrowed the money doesn't have it, he's not allowed to even walk past him. Because the pasuk says, don't be like a biter, like a creditor. And by simply walking past him, he's going to remind the borrower that that he owes him money, and that's like pressing him and hounding him for the money, so he has to make sure to go around and not even walk past the borrower. Continuing with this, Rami Ravasi, Dom Shavayu, both of them say, Kilu Donu Bishne Dinin, if the lender walks by the borrower, it's as if he judged him or punished him, if you will, with two different punishments. Because the pasuk says, Kafta Enosh L'Rishenu, Banu Ba'esh Uvamayim. Over here, we're understanding the word L'Rishenu, not to literally mean over our heads, but to mean, Kafta Enosh L'Rishenu, you've taken a person in Enosh, L'Rishenu, as a lashon of Rashia, which means to press or pressure for payment. And that means that when a person is pressured to pay a loan that he owes, what does the next part of the pasuk say? Banu Ba'esh Uvamayim, it's as if we've entered fire and water. The two punishments that a person goes through when he's pressed for money that he owes are fire and water. Now, I'm going to talk about loaning money, not in the context of ribbis, but in the context of making sure that you have edim, you have witnesses that can testify that you actually loaned your money. Amar Rav Yudam Rav, he says, Kol mi sheyesh lahem ba'is, anyone that has money, ubam va'oisen shalei be'edim, and he lends them without witnesses, over mishum v'lifnei ir l'sitei michshol, he's over olav l'sitei michshol. Why is that? Because when Reuven lends Shimon money without edim, Shimon now is very tempted to say, I never borrowed money from you, and Reuven doesn't have a way to prove it. So Reuven, the lender, is actually over l'fnei iver. And Rish Lakish says, Garim kol atzmai, he actually causes curses on himself. Shnever, because the pasuk says, Te'olam nesisei shaker, these lying lips should be silenced, ha-divers al tzadik asuk, which speak falsehood about a tzadik. What's this referring to? So when Reuven lends money to Shimon without edim, and Shimon subsequently denies the loan, because again, there's no edim to testify about it. What are people going to say? That Reuven's a rasha, and he's trying to get money out of Shimon unlawfully. Even though that can't be further from the truth, that's what people are going to say, because they're inclined to believe Shimon, that he never borrowed money from Reuven, as opposed to Reuven, who claims he lent money without edim, and therefore, don't lend money without edim. And we have a story about this. Amar Rabban Ravashi, Rabban told Ravashi, Kamakayim Ravina, Komad Amar Rabbanon. Ravina fulfills everything the Rabbanon say. And Ravashi decided to test him. So Shalachleim Bahadei Pani Demali Shabta, Ravashi sent Ravina a message Erev Shabbos, literally Mara Sarzuzi, please send me 10 Zuzim. This from Ali Katina de Arla Mizban. A business deal came up right now. I'm able to buy a small piece of land and I really need the money. So Shalachleim Ravina sent a message back to him, Nesi Mar Sahadi, Venichtav Ksava. Send over some Edim and we're going to write the document. So Shalachleim Ravashi sent a message back, Afilo Ana Nami? Me also? You're not going to lend me, Rav Ashi, without Edim? Shalachleim Ravina sent me the following message. Kol shekemar. For sure to you, I'm not going to lend money without Edim. Why is that? Not because I don't trust you. Detar Begirse, since he's so busy learning, meaning you're so busy learning and shtagging away, Mishli Vigarim Kol Atzmi, you might forget that you borrowed money from me, and I'm going to bring a call onto myself because people are going to say that I'm the Rasha, that I'm trying to take money from you unlawfully, but it's really not true. I actually lent you the money, and you just simply might forget. And therefore, we see that Ravina actually did fulfill everything Lacham say by not giving a loan without Edim. And one more remember about this Tanar Bana, we have a Braisa, the three people that cry out and they're not going to be answered, meaning they're going to go to Beis Din and try to get what's due to them, and Beis Din is going to say, we're really sorry, but there's nothing we could do for you. Ve'eluhin, these are them, somebody has money and who lends them without Edim, somebody who acquires a master, an Adain for himself, and somebody whose wife controls him. First one we already learned about. The last one is simple as well. If a person lets his wife control him and he's not the man of the house, his issue and his fault. But now we have to understand the middle one, what does that mean? He acquires a master for himself. So some say, this is talking about a person who's title all of his possessions in a guy. Basically, he has a lot of money, and he's always telling people, oh, it's not really my money, it's a non-Jew's money that I just have the right to use. The reason why this is considered acquiring a master for himself is because a non-Jew is going to get wind of this, get somebody to tape him, or get witnesses to prove that he actually said that all of his money belongs to the non-Jew, and then he's stuck. Whereas some say, this is talking about somebody who writes all of his property over to his kids during his lifetime, and now he's not able to use it anymore. It's his kid's property, so that's considered like acquiring a master for himself. And lastly, Ikadamri, some say that what this is talking about, somebody who didn't do well over here in this town, financially he's not doing very well, maybe he owes people money, and he doesn't go to a different town where his mazel, his luck is going to change, and maybe he'll actually be able to pay his loans back. He just ends up staying in this bad situation that he's in. That's called being kind and adam for himself. And again, he's one of these people that cries out for help in Beis Din, but there's nothing they could do for him. Mazel finishing the fifth parak of Maseches Bava Metzia, just like we're going to finish this parak together, we should be going to finish the entire Masech together, and of course, all of Shas together. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with a brand new parak. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.